Welcome to Salad with a Side of Fries. I'm your host, Jen Trepik, talking wellness and weight loss for real life. We're here to clear up the myths, misinformation, bad science, and marketing to teach you how to eat and how to cheat. Are you ready? I'm having salad with a side of fries. This week, we're talking about cilantro, and it is absolutely a polarizing food. Funny, I was actually just talking to my mom about it, and she might not even notice that cilantro is in something, and her friend can tell it's there from like a mile away, and the food tastes terrible to her. I've had friends who say that anything with cilantro tastes like soap. And then there's others who love it as an alternative to, you know, parsley or other things. So what's the deal? Actually fitting for today's conversation. It's chemical or biological, right? And there's actually a genetic component to this. Right? So there's a genetic response that determines how we taste cilantro. A 2012 study, among other studies, but this one showed that the actual response lies within a cluster of olfactory receptor genes on chromosome 11. So among these olfactory receptor genes is OR6A2, which has a high binding specifically a high binding specifically for several of the aldehydes that give cilantro its characteristic odor. So types of aldehydes, right? Like, I don't know if you remember like seventh grade science, like dissecting the frog, right? And formaldehyde, right? Like that has a very distinct odor. So cilantro actually has aldehydes also. And the study also showed this to be more common in women than in men, and more common in Europeans than those from Africa, Latin America, South America, South Asia, and East Asia. So I don't know. I mean, in my mind, I feel like those are also regions where it natively grows. So maybe that's the connection. But anyway, as we say with everything, right, genes or genetics are not our destiny. We can actually shift how our genes express. This is actually the study of epigenetics, but that's a topic for another day. So for today, suffice to say that we've seen some research that repeated positive exposure to cilantro may convert the soapy cilantro tasters into happier cilantro eaters. So I've heard also that crushing the cilantro leaves can help minimize that flavor. And so that can help you sort of if you feel the need to push yourself on the cilantro front. But what's the big deal, right? Why might we want to add cilantro to our regular herb repertoire? So first of all, I think it's interesting. So cilantro are the leaves, but the seed is known as coriander. So as a plant, it's in the same species or the same family as carrots and celery and parsley. So on the nutrition front, 1 cup of raw cilantro is about 16 grams by weight, right? It gives us about 3.7 calories, like 0.1 grams of fat, 0.1 grams of carbs, 0.3 grams of protein. So also consider that that's a cup and think about how much we use of an herb. The quantity is really, in terms of our macronutrients, it's really negligible, right? But when we look at the micronutrients, it gives us vitamin C, vitamin A, and K, as well as trace amounts of folate, potassium, manganese, choline, beta-carotene, beta-cryptoxanthin, lutein, and zeaxanthin. So most of these are actually antioxidants, which might be why we see studies showing anti-cancer benefits. So there's definitely more research needed here, but a few test tube studies showed, one in particular showed that the herb reduced the expression of specific genes in cancer cells, and individual prostate cancer cells became less invasive, showed characteristics that meant they would not spread as quickly and did not demonstrate as many signs of grouping together in colonies. Another test tube study used an extract of the stem, the root, and the leaves, and that showed anti-cancer effects as well against human breast cancer cells and inhibited damage to cells due to oxidative stress. So, you know, these were not in humans. we need a lot more research, but it's interesting, right? It gives us a start. Cilantro can potentially help with pain and inflammation. And we talk about it all the time, reduced inflammation with antioxidants. But more interesting was a study on coriander and mice that was published in 2015 and found that extracts of seeds produce a significant analgesic effect. So potentially through the opioid system. So what they saw was that naloxone blocked the pain relief effect of the coriander. And naloxone is the drug that's used to block the effects of opioids. So interesting. Again, we definitely need more research. Also, potentially because of the antioxidants, we see some skin health benefits related to UVB rays. So a 2015 study in the Journal of Medicinal Food tested both an alcohol suspension of cilantro or coriander extracts on human skin cells and the skin cells of hairless laboratory mice. And they saw the prevention or reduction of sun damage in the skin. So cilantro is also antifungal, may help with candida. Still need more research. And cilantro leaves also contain a chemical, and I'll probably say this wrong, called dodecanol, I want to say, that apparently has an antibacterial effect against salmonella. So, you know, it's potentially these properties that make it act as a natural preservative for foods. So there's some anecdotal evidence you might hear that adding cilantro translates into using less salt or can help with nausea symptoms. Probably, I think, on the salt front, like it adds flavor, so you're relying less on salt. So if you have a sodium issue, take a look at that. If it helps with your nausea, great. Haven't really seen the research on it. But if you want to add more cilantro, you can add it to soups, salads, curries, tacos. Honestly, sprinkle it on top of vegetable sides. Anywhere where you would use parsley, you could use cilantro. I would say add it at the end of cooking or sprinkle it on top at the end, like eating it raw. You don't want to cook it that much. It's sort of delicate in that way. You could even do a cilantro pesto if you want. Of course, if you're allergic, don't eat it. But otherwise, maybe pick some up, change up the flavors in your everyday favorites. And maybe we'll do another one on another nutrition nugget on coriander, because there are definitely more studies on just the seeds, the seed oil and seed extracts that show benefits beyond these that were, you know, including the leaves, like what we know as cilantro. So I'll add it to the list. But there you have it, guys. That's the scoop on cilantro. Dr. Stacy, thank you again for being here.
You are welcome. Now I'm going to pick up some cilantro on my way home because it does not taste like soap to me.
Me either. You'll have to let me know what you make. So as always, everybody, I'm your host, Jen Trepik. Connect with me on Instagram at Jen Trepik. Really, all social media is the same handle. Consider this your personal invitation. Send me a message. I want to hear from you, your takeaways, your ideas, any questions. This is also the easiest way to learn more about working with me. Of course, if you're not already, join us for the membership program. Go to glow.fm/saladwithasideoffries. This shows your support for this podcast, this community, and most importantly, supports your health. You'll get this week's recipe for the green salad with dill vinaigrette, tips for a better green salad, and access to your quarterly live session, just you and me, for 30 minutes. I can't wait. So until next week, everybody, remember, biology and psychology are connected. Our head is not separate from our body. So maybe we should think about it a little bit more each day. Gratitude, forgiveness, and trust.
Well, friends, that's it for today's episode of Salad with a Side of Fries. Congratulations for making yourself and your health a priority. Thanks so much for joining us. Be sure to click subscribe or follow on your favorite podcast platform. Share us with a friend, and we'll be back next week. Always remember, you deserve it and you are worth it. Happy healthy.